This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Gazelle Full Circle Resale. Now accepting like-new natural fiber clothing, jewelry, accessories, and curios. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and can be reached at 503-284-4192.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The disclosure of this program is disgraceful. We're at war with a bunch of people who want to hurt the United States of America. And for people to leak that program and for a newspaper to publish it does great harm to the United States of America.
The Bush administration lashes out at media outlets for disclosing the government's secret monitoring of international bank transactions without court approval. We'll talk with law professor Jonathan Turley about total information awareness. Then, why has a former spokesman for President Bush been encouraging newspapers to run news stories from Iraq written by two combat veterans who are now embedded reporters in Iraq? We'll take a look at the group Vets for Freedom.
The organization Vets for Freedom claims to be a nonpartisan group, but it's close to the Bush White House, and it looks like it's going to be the 2006 version of Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
And Congress is taking up legislation today that could affect the nation's media ownership laws, the future of the Internet, public access television, and the expansion of low-power FM radio.
Telecommunications companies, cable companies, and people trying to control the Internet have a huge chance today to take away our local rights to control our communications networks. But if we call our senators, we can take those rights back and have a communication system that serves us where we live in our local community.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Supreme Court has rejected Vermont's campaign finance law that's placed the nation's tightest restrictions on campaign contributions and spending. Vermont's first enacted the law to set strict limits on how much candidates could spend and how much individuals and political parties could contribute. We'll have more on the story after headlines. In Iraq today, at least three people were killed, 17 injured in a suicide bombing on a gas station in Kirkuk. The attack comes one day after at least 40 people were killed and almost 90 more wounded in separate market bombings and in the cities of Bakuba and Hilla. In other Iraq news, the New York Times is reporting U.S. forces expelled 50 Iraqis from their homes this weekend to set up a military outpost in Ramadi. The Iraqis were sent into the streets carrying their food and clothing. The U.S. is currently in the midst of a major operation in Ramadi that has already led to the expulsion of thousands of people. Meanwhile, the Associated Press is reporting the annual cost of maintaining military equipment in Iraq and Afghanistan is expected to triple next year to more than $17 billion. Some estimates now put war costs over the last 5 years at almost $500 billion. A new poll shows Americans are nearly evenly split on setting a deadline for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. According to the Washington Post, ABC News, the number of Americans favoring a timetable has grown 8 points to 47%. 51% oppose setting a deadline. Speaking at the White House, President Bush was asked about troop withdrawal Monday.
But in terms of our troop presence there, that decision will be made by General Casey as well as the sovereign government of Iraq based upon conditions on the ground. And one of the things that General Casey assured me of is that whatever recommendation he makes, it'll be aimed toward achieving victory, and that's what we want.
The Israeli army has deployed a large contingent to the border with the Gaza Strip in preparation for a major offensive over a kidnapped soldier. Corporal Gilad Shalit was abducted Sunday in a Palestinian operation that left two Israeli soldiers and two Palestinians dead. On Monday, Palestinian groups offered to lead Israel to Corporal Shalit in return for the release of all Palestinian women and young people under the age of 18 in Israeli prisons. Israel has rejected the demand and says it will target Hamas leaders if the soldier is not freed. This is Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Gillerman.
Israel has made it very, very clear that it holds the Hamas, the terror organization, responsible for the life of this soldier, who we know is alive, and holds President Mahmoud Abbas responsible for his safe return. Israel will do everything in its power to protect its people. Israel regards this incident very gravely and will make sure that the international community and the Palestinian Authority do everything as quickly as possible to make sure that this soldier is returned to his family safely.
Meanwhile, Palestinian Deputy Prime Minister Nasser al-Sheir made an appeal to the kidnappers.
We urge you to keep the Israeli soldiers safe because we don't want to give the Israeli army any excuses for escalation. This is why we ask you to keep him safe and ask the international community to help our people in the Gaza Strip.
Back in the United States, the Supreme Court agreed Monday to rule on whether the Bush administration must regulate emissions of carbon dioxide to stop global warming. A group of U.S. states, cities, and environmental groups filed suit 3 years ago to challenge the Environmental Protection Agency's insistence it's not required to curb CO2 under the Clean Air Act. Bush said he supported regulation during his first presidential campaign, but later reversed his position after coming into office. Meanwhile, President Bush said Monday he believes global warming is a serious problem, but urged Americans to, quote, get beyond the debate over whether it's caused by human activity. His comments came just days after the National Academy of Sciences released a study showing recent surges in global temperatures are unprecedented for at least the last 400 years and potentially the last several millennia. The study concludes, quote, human activities are responsible for much of the recent warming. In education news, the University of Colorado announced Tuesday it wants to fire ethnic studies professor Ward Churchill. Churchill became the center of a debate over free speech and academic freedom last year over controversial comments he made on the 9/11 attacks. The University of Colorado has come under intense pressure to fire Churchill from figures including the governor of Colorado, Bill Owens, and Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. The university says it's firing Churchill after a university committee concluded he committed research misconduct and plagiarism in his writings on Native American history. Churchill says the charges are baseless and that the committee was unfairly selected. He maintains he's being punished for his outspoken views. He'll have 10 days to appeal the university's decision. This news comes on the heels of last month's announcement by Yale University it will not hire the prominent University of Michigan history professor Juan Cole. The decision followed a barrage of lobbying and criticism from right-wing commentators over Cole's views on the Iraq War, Israel, and the state of the Middle East. The list of activist groups monitored under a secret Pentagon program is growing. The Service Members Legal Defense Network says the Pentagon has admitted to spying on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and anti-war protests at several universities. The State University of New York at Albany, William Patterson University in New Jersey, Southern Connecticut State University, and the University of California, Berkeley. Declassified documents show the government intercepted the students' emails and planted undercover agents at least one protest. The government also refused to confirm or deny whether it had spied on activists in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. The disclosure marks the latest case of known government spying under a secret domestic intelligence program, which has also targeted the Quaker movement and other anti-war groups. A veteran CIA officer has revealed new details of how the Bush administration built the case for invading Iraq. In an interview with the Washington Post, former CIA officer Tyler Drumheller said he repeatedly warned administration officials over the discredited Iraqi source known as Curveball. Curveball is the Iraqi expatriate whose claims were used to help build the case Saddam Hussein possessed weapons of mass destruction. Drumheller says he personally removed the paragraph from a draft of Colin Powell's United Nations speech that claimed Iraq had mobile biological weapons laboratories. But Bush administration officials intervened and Powell delivered the speech with the biolab claim intact. The Financial Times is reporting an internal U.S. military study has warned that future oil supplies are at risk because of the spread of resource nationalism in Latin America. Both Bolivia and Ecuador have recently taken steps to nationalize oil fields, while Venezuela has raised taxes on foreign oil production. In the report, analysts with the U.S. Southern Command say reemerging state control over energy will, quote, increase inefficiencies and hamper efforts to increase long-term supplies and production. The report also warns oil production in Mexico is at risk because of the state restrictions on foreign investment. The military concludes, quote, pending any favorable changes to the investment climate, the prospects for long-term energy production in Venezuela, Ecuador, and Mexico are currently at risk. And here in New York, dozens of people gathered outside the UN Monday to call for the closure of the U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay. The rally was held to mark the United Nations Day for Victims of Torture. The protesters dressed in orange jumpsuits and marched behind a cage on wheels. 25 people were arrested, including the peace activist Father Daniel Berrigan. Three of the arrested protesters gave their names as those of the Guantanamo prisoners who committed suicide earlier this month. This is Matthew DeLisio of the New York Catholic Worker.
UN, the international community, leaders from Germany, England, France, have all called for Guantanamo to be shut down. We are here today to join in that call. A group of us will now proceed to the building that houses the U.S. mission to the UN. We won't leave until John Bolton issues a statement calling for the shutting down of Guantanamo.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.